You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier today, I talked with Dr. Shane Nureti of the National Party about how the government can do more for Pacific peoples during the pandemic. Pacific peoples have suffered infections at a rate 8 times higher than non-Māori and 4 times higher than Māori. Dr. Shane issued a press release on Saturday calling for greater collaboration between government and faith and community leaders, as well as action on housing to try and combat this. We discuss this in greater detail as follows. Could you please briefly explain the COVID-related issues that Pacifica communities are currently experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic?
So my concern for Pacific peoples during the COVID pandemic is severalfold. First of all, with every outbreak, be it Alpha, Delta or Omicron, Pacific people in the early stages of the outbreak have been disproportionately affected. And that may well be because of communal living styles, low socioeconomic factors. But if we look at the start of each outbreak, be it Mount Roskill congregations of faith or whatever, Pacific peoples lead that out. And that then, of course, lends itself to what we're seeing in the data, which is showing high rates for Omicron as well. So my concern here is Pacific people at high risk, and we need to be focusing our attention at mitigating that.
So how is the government failing to mitigate or prevent these issues?
I think what we're seeing with the disproportionately high case numbers is that Pacific people are lagging behind, and that would suggest that we aren't applying enough resources to them, a range of resources, education, a communication path. It just seems to me like we've taken the eye off the Pacific community, and the data is supporting that. I would add that behind the Pacific community is the 70,000 Middle East community is the next group, which has a high number of infected people. The Pacific community, unfortunately, leads that group, that ethnic group, on the basis of the number of cases infected with Omicron over the size of their population.
You mentioned the fact that there are these data figures that have emerged that paint a poor picture of Pacific communities suffering during the COVID pandemic. Could you please discuss these a little more?
I want to acknowledge the Pacific health workers who are working really, really hard to get a good outcome for Pacific peoples. But what the data shows to the end of February is that the number of Pacific people infected with Omicron as a proportion of their population is 4 times higher than Māori and 8 times higher than non-Māori. So clearly an at-risk group. And this probably reflects several things. Low socioeconomic status, the collective and communal living environment, which is all conducive to spreading Omicron. What it may also represent is what's called the denominator, the number of eligible Pacific people who are eligible for the vaccine. And what we know is that that group is calculated on health service use 2 years ago. What we also know is that there are at least 15,000 Pacific people who just hadn't touched health services, according to the census, hadn't touched health services in the last 2 years, so they're not being taken into account. So they could be some of the ones who are being infected here. There is a redeeming feature, and that is the Pacific community do have a high vaccination rate, which is really encouraging, which makes me think that this 15,000 extra people, the ones that aren't taken into account in the vaccination rate, could be the ones that are adding to the numbers.
So in terms of reaching that population, you mentioned in your press release on Saturday that greater educational outreach needs to take place, specifically with regards to faith and community leaders in the Pacifica community. How can the government build stronger connections in terms of with these faith and community leaders and have a greater output with regards to educational outreach?
So we need to be developing deeper and stronger relationships with the Pacific community. They are good. They need to be great. I think we also need to be looking at the positive influence that faith leaders have in the Pacific community, the trust they have, and the manner that they bring to discussions around vaccines, around close contacts, around social distancing, and even better utilising them than what we are at the moment. Education needs to be in a culturally competent context. And again, this is a shout out to the Pacifica health providers who are doing their best and are doing a great job. We need to support them and facilitate them to do even better, because we know we get better outcomes when we treat and help people in a culturally competent context.
During the pandemic, the current government has regularly given funding to health providers and district health boards specifically for the purpose of achieving better outcomes for Pacific communities. Most recently, in September 21, there was $26 million given that included $3 million for communications and $18 million for providers. How is what you're proposing different from the status quo?
So I have all the DHBs in front of our Health Select Committee. In fact, this morning I've just got off with three of them. And one of the questions I ask is, what is your Omicron plan for Pacific peoples? Yes, our funding has gone towards Pacific peoples and their Omicron response. We need to look at how well that has been spent, what the outcomes are, and whether it was enough. It's exactly the same sort of thing as for the Māori health providers. What are the needs that are being met? What are the outcome measures? Did we meet those outcome measures? And furthermore, how do we future-proof with the money that's been spent so that when Omicron has passed, we've set in place a framework that will see us through not only other COVID strains, but maybe our routine immunisation schedule, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. It would be really good if we're spending the money and developing a framework that is future-proofed. So these are the sort of things I'm critiquing and expecting the government to do.
What ministry or arm of the government do you see as facilitating these kinds of relationships?
I think the lead here is a collaboration between the Ministry of Health, clearly, and the Ministry for Pacific Peoples. It may well be the science comes from the Ministry of Health, but the relationships come from the Ministry for Pacific Peoples. And the reality is that that ministry has had a doubling, if not tripling, in FTEs and revenue. So they have been significantly ramped up. I understand they're busy. Every ministry is busy. But it would need to be that collaboration between those two.
So you're asking for some long-term relationships to be established between faith and community leaders and other associated groups in the Pacific community and these government institutions?
I'm asking for longer and deeper relationships between government ministries and Pacific communities, because when Omicron has moved, if there is another strain, I'd like to think those relationships will stand us in good stead so that Pacific communities aren't the kickoff community that lead the next strain. And secondly, if we put COVID to the side completely, all the positive health behaviours that we'd like to encourage, if we've developed those relationships, then we can drop that educational package onto those relationships and see if we can improve them as well.
You mentioned as well in your press release the fact that Pacific people are more likely to live in communal environments with limitations on housing and overcrowding. What specific policy measures does the National Party suggest to prevent overcrowding?
Overcrowding is fundamentally a housing issue. And we have a clear housing challenge, and it simply comes down to building more houses. And, you know, we talk about the acute shortage of houses across New Zealand and the impact for non-Māori, for Māori. You know, Pacific peoples have actually even worse rates of home ownership. So they really do need extra attention. But the solution here is housing. Build more houses.
What is the outlook for Pacific peoples during the rest of this outbreak?
The data I talked to was to the end of February that showed the very high proportionate rate for Pacific people versus Māori and non-Māori. I have data as of yesterday, and what that shows is that it may have peaked the case infection rate for Omicron with Pacific people may have just peaked and be slightly turning downwards. If, unfortunately, the general numbers still hold, 4 times more than Māori, 8 times more than non-Māori, but I'm encouraged by the data yesterday to not see it continuing to escalate, but just plateauing a bit. So we'll see again in a week if that's substantiated.
That was Dr. Shane Nuditi and I discussing how the government can do more for Pacific peoples during the pandemic. Thank you for coming on, Dr. Shane. I really enjoyed our discussion today, and I'm sure the listeners did too.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.